The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I arrived this morning. Like 2 o'clock, so I feel a little bit strange.
So you got stuck in Israel?
It's a paper thing, you know, when you travel. You have
this is the New Yorker Radio Hour. I'm Evan Osnos. I'm sitting in for David Remnick today. But a couple of weeks ago, David had the chance to meet with the artist Ai Weiwei. Ai is a unique figure in Chinese society. He's the most famous Chinese artist, a star in the global art world. He's also a dissident who's been interrogated and beaten and jailed, and he's been under government surveillance. There was a time when the Chinese government was very proud of Ai Weiwei. He worked on the 2008 Beijing Olympics. But he began to challenge the Communist Party after the Sichuan earthquake in 2008, where thousands of children died in schools that collapsed. And he's been struggling with the government ever since. Ai Weiwei was in New York recently to plan a major public artwork that isn't about China at all. It's an installation at sites all over the city that uses metal security fencing. It's a way of talking about the refugee crisis, and it's a very political piece of work. It's being planned with the blessing of the mayor, which is a kind of collaboration that, it's fair to say, you would not see happen in China. Here's David Remnick with Ai Weiwei.
Your new project is called Good Fences Make Good Neighbors, which is the phrase from Robert Frost. And it's a gigantic public art installation. Can you tell me a little bit about that? That's going to be coming here to New York in the fall.
In the autumn, in October. And it's a project when I was asked by Public Art Fund in New York to do a project, and which it's not an easy decision for me because I love this city. I've been here, spent about 10 years in the 80s. And to come back to do a work, a single work, is not that easy. So I have so much feeling. I don't want just make a piece of sculpture. I don't think that the people would respond to it. So first, we try to do something in relate to the city's landscape. So it's a work you really have to see it. And even when you see it, you may not immediately recognize it as a so-called piece of art because it's public art. You know, public art should not be a piece of blow-ups from the little works in the museum place, but rather to relate to daily life.
Are you influenced by somebody like Christo when you're doing something like this?
No, I never really influenced by him. And we are in very different circumstance or context. But of course, he's a very respectful artist.
You've been spending a lot of time visiting refugee camps all around the world. Why did the refugee crisis grab you so strongly?
I went to Athens, Lesbos, the little island
that
received, Greece, received over 500,000 refugees at that moment. And I see them, how they come down to the shore and, how they are received in the camps. And I have a curiosity who they are, why they have to give up everything to such a foreign place. The condition is so poor. It's beyond understanding, and it's not possible to understand. Even in China, that kind of condition cannot be accepted, because you don't see children has no food, no light, and it's raining and cold, and you know, nobody care about them. So this is in the heart of the Europe. So that make me really rethink about you know, our understanding about humanity, about democracy, about freedom of speech, freedom of press. So I think I will start to know more about it, you know, to do some, we start to make a documentary film. The film will come out in 2 months, 3 months, called Human Flow. It's a
Human Flow, it's called.
Yeah, it's called, it's global study about refugee situation in many aspects.
So tell me, you were not permitted to travel outside of China until about 2 years ago when the Chinese authorities gave you your passport back.
Exactly 2 years ago.
So how did you feel about that? Did you feel stuck and then liberated, or what was your emotional reaction?
The whole thing is so ridiculous. So you don't feel that, you don't get that kind of sense you're liberated, or they shouldn't have my passport at the first place. And they never give me a clear explanation of why they're doing that. And they're shy to even tell me, you know, anything about it. Then they returned to me. Right after I got my passport, I went back because they told me you're free. As I said, free means I can go out and come back. They said yes, so I tested it. You know, I'm a person always want to test it. You know, I want telling them I'm not afraid.
How does the Chinese government maintain restrictions on your work? Do the authorities make any effort to stop you from being an activist when you're overseas? Do you feel pressure when you're here in New York, or you were just in Israel and you're in Europe a lot? Do you feel any pressure? Do you feel any sense of surveillance?
I don't feel that kind of pressure as when I was in China. You know, I feel that kind of pressure every second. And because I've been completely not only monitored, but really in their hands. They can take me in or make me disappear any moment.
I've been to your house. There are cameras all around. They make it's not like they hide the cameras. They want you to see them.
Yeah, they want you to see it. And they never really hide their effort. And they keep coming to talk to you. Used to be weekly.
Do you think the Chinese government wants you eventually to be gone forever? Is that part of the strategy?
I don't really know. It's, you know, who is Chinese government? Is anybody responsible for those kind of decisions? Are they going to be celebrating or regret for anything? I don't really know. For if you look at the history, there's no clear evidence of any sort of this kind of decision. You don't know who made this kind of decisions. Is collected wisdom, or is somebody responsible for it? Nobody knows. It's not only my case, my father's case, his whole generation, you know, those intellectuals have been wiped out. But still, no clear answer. You know, who is responsible for those?
As an artist, what's your sense of what the parameters are? What's the limits? What's allowed? What's not allowed? What can be said? What can't be said?
I think this is a game. You can never really be clear. You know, that's the power of the game. You can never be clear. You know, that always can be changed.
Tiananmen is said to be something that is an obvious limit. What are the other obvious limits, if there are any?
Well, I said that Tiananmen's limit, Tibetan situation's limit, Taiwan's limit, Hong Kong, you know, there's so many limits there, but those are not real limits.
Is Ai Weiwei a limit?
Is a limit. Ai Weiwei, you cannot talk about Ai Weiwei in any open social media or state media, and every media is a state media. So basically, I'm existing only in kind of virtual reality. It's not no real, you know, many people see me as a surprise. Oh, this is really a person.
You're a non-person.
Yeah, I'm a non-person. But those, I don't think it's a real problem. The real problem is the sense of the freedom. And that is most dangerous. That's the real limit.
Do you see any danger in social media? You thrive on social media. You love Instagram, Twitter. Your work goes up on social media. It's the one way it gets distributed. You're taking your phone out of your pocket now and taking a picture of me even. We have a president who tweets all the time, and seems to ruin our relations with one country after another on a daily basis. Do you think Xi Jinping will ever tweet?
I love it. I think, why those relations should not be ruined. I mean, this president tells the truth in his heart, and, those relations may be fake at the first place. So, this guy just wake up at midnight, tell some truth. It's better than some president hiding his truth, even retired. Nobody knows what is really true in his mind.
Are you sure?
I think it makes it faster to find out those monsters or evil spirit,
right,
rather than hiding somewhere doing the business as usual. I don't know which one is more dangerous.
Some of your critics say that, look, okay, it's true that China is authoritarian, but not as authoritarian as 50 years ago. And in the meantime, millions and millions of people have been brought out of poverty, and that you fail to give credit for that simple fact.
Those are facts. The culture has some credit, should be in there. And China can even be better, can contribute more to the world culture or make the world a better place. If you see China as a nation trying to discredit about freedom of speech and any independent thinking, then you see a generation of young people with very limited knowledge. All the information has been censored. And never encourage them as their imagination and the passion and individual freedom. China, in the next decades, can never really provide anything really meaningful. And the corruption built up by this fast development, the environmental are ruined. It's just cannot continue.
Most people, when they talk about the movement of power in the world, say that China is going to be the dominant power of the 21st century, and how the United States does or does not accommodate itself to this fact of this rivalry, of this this movement in history, is the central question of the 21st century in geopolitics. You're telling me that the Chinese Communist Party is going to crash. The rest of the world is telling me that it's going to reign.
I'm so certain no matter what happens, China or Chinese in my lifetime, be dominant as a world power. It's not possible because China never really have that kind of vision and ego, and also structurally it's not possible. And the United States also may not be possible if you have a president like today and you have all those... You're not clearly have the vision to understand what's happening in 21st century. The United States also can be out of question.
You consider yourself a capitalist or a socialist or what when it comes
to... I'm individualist. I think that's the power.
Weiwei, thank you so much.
Thank you. You're so good. Thank you.
David Remnick spoke with Ai Weiwei earlier this month.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.